Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 498, Nicole Feliciano, author of Mom Boss.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Raise your hand if you're a mom boss. I'm a mom boss. Could be a dad boss. Welcome to the show. I'm Farnoosh Torabi, host of So Money. And by now, we've all pretty much heard the expression girl boss, right? Hashtag girl boss. It was the title of Sophia Amoruso's New York Times bestselling book and soon to be Netflix series. And by the way, she and I were on her podcast talking about money and life and earning millions of dollars in your 20s. She did that, not me. So look up her Girl Boss Podcast Radio for that interview. And increasingly now you might be hearing, in addition to girl boss, the expression mom boss. It's a movement led by Nicole Feliciano, the CEO of Mom Trends and author of the new book, aptly called Mom Boss, Balancing Entrepreneurship, Kids, and Success. And Nicole's got the inside intel on how moms can launch businesses while spearheading a household, how to structure your life so you don't go crazy, and advice from some of the top female entrepreneurs in this country for how to be a proper mom boss. And full disclosure, she interviewed me for this book, and my experiences and deep thoughts are throughout it. I had to ask her, though, why use the word balance in your title? I think that's, you know, that's tricky because some people have thrown out the expression balance. Balance this, balance your life. They don't, it doesn't exist, right? Or does it? She has some interesting thoughts on that. Here is Nicole Feliciano. Nicole Feliciano, mom boss. Welcome to So Money, my friend.
I'm so excited to be here and talk about the book and all things mom bossy.
Yeah. And I make a cameo in your book. You very kindly interviewed me. I mean, I don't really think of myself every day as a mom boss. As you know, sometimes you don't feel very mom bossy. Sometimes you just feel like you're having a bad hair day and nothing's going right.
Your evolution was really interesting because you went solo before you started your family, and then your career evolved. And I think that the mom boss part of your journey was how you continued along your career path after the kids came along. And that I found that very interesting.
Well, you know, and I'm sure you've come across this and maybe even experienced this in your own life. I did. There's this thing called the baby trigger. Even dads will say that as soon as we had a child, your priorities completely shift. And when it comes to work, you instantly know what takes priority and what doesn't, what's important to you and what isn't, and what your trade-offs are. In that way, having a child and having a family is such a gift. And while we a lot of times are afraid to start our families because we think it'll stymie the growth of our careers, I think there's another way to look at it. And I've seen the fruits of the labor literally in our household and in others. Tell us why you wanted to write the book.
Well, we were coming up on 10-year anniversary of Mom Transmedia being around, and it was a great milestone because there's so many numbers about the businesses failing, small businesses failing. So we hit the $1 million mark, and we were closing in on the 10 years of business. And I feel like those two things, in my mind, were a moment of having arrived. And it's certainly not an overnight success, but it was, you know, a success story that I was excited to tell because it evolved as my kids have grown. And I thought that the timing was absolutely perfect of the book with the successes that I've had. And at this point, I've really moved to a mentoring role within the social media world and people who are starting up influencer businesses in the New York area as well as nationally. And I thought this was a great way to give back to our community. And then I also get invited for a lot of sessions with women who are trying to launch businesses or trying to get small brands off the ground and running. And I can't have a half an hour coffee with everyone, but I can, have a book for $16.95 that's going to give them even the best of me, you know, even better than a coffee date that's available to them.
This is truly the era for mompreneurship, isn't it? I mean, you go back to 2007, which in internet years is like, you know, mid-century. For all intents and purposes, because 2007 was just when people were realizing, hey, you know, online videos are kind of a thing. I think YouTube had just surfaced. You were in some ways very lucky because you had you had years ahead of others, moms now who want to maybe start a business. And of course, a lot of the businesses are digitally focused or online based. What are the differences you're seeing today versus when you started your business that are either pros or cons?
Well, I think creating a community is easier and harder in some ways today for any business. I mean, you've got all these free tools available with social media, which are fabulous. You don't have to spend a ton of money on a marketing or big splashy advertising campaigns to get out there. A lot of times, if you've got clever social media and great content, you know, that goes a long way. But in that same on that same notion, there's no barrier to entry with anything. I think there's no barrier to entry if you're starting a business with branding and things, because you can start an Etsy shop. You don't need a physical location. You can open up a web storefront. But there is all of that competition. So you do need to have a game plan as to how you're going to get the message out there. You do need to have a game plan as to how you're going to grow. You know, I had the time to really solidify my voice and what the site was going to be about. You know, I spent 2 years really figuring that out before we started throwing money into marketing and to trying to grow the readership. So I died to have the luxury of those 2 years of figuring things out. I think now things move at a little bit of a faster pace. I mean, the blessing is now you can kind of fail fast and move on from there. But I do, you know, I had the benefit of building a community, listening to them slowly and surely over 2 years as to what they wanted to hear, what they didn't want to hear when it came to content. And I think nowadays it's much more reactionary than it was back in 2007.
Right. Yeah. In some ways, like you said, there are no barriers to entry, but there's, on the same token, so much more competition, or at least visible competition. What do you think it says about women and moms, the fact that we are creating businesses, I think, at a much faster clip than dads or men? I mean, women are in their category of their own, very much a leading category of entrepreneurs.
It's definitely where the growth is happening. And I feel that, and I mean, I can definitely tell you what the issue is. It was the having to ask for permission to do what you wanted to do. And every entrepreneur had that same story, that there became this point. Sometimes it was a specific thing that they were asking a boss for permission to do with their family that they got the no on. And they were just incredulous that after giving their blood, sweat, and tears to a company, that they couldn't get that sort of flexibility. So the flexibility cannot, you just can't compare with it. Am I working as many hours as I did back at Ralph Lauren, the company that I was working before I left? Probably, but those hours look a lot different. They look a lot, you know, less structured and a lot less dependent on all of those meetings that were bogging down the creative process and the workflow. So we are definitely very light on meetings within my company, and we're very big on creative get-togethers where we do brainstorming, we come up with ideas, we circle the best of them, we analyze what's working, what's not working, but we don't have meetings just to have meetings. And I think the permission to run your life and schedule your life around your family is just, you can't even put a price tag on it. And I think women are so drawn to that, to building their dreams of having a family and having a fulfilling work life, that they're really not looking back.
You use a very controversial word in your title, subtitle, balancing entrepreneurship, kids, and success. The word balance is something that either you accept it, you know, you believe in it, or some people say there's no such thing as balance. So when you talk about balance, tell me how that looks.
That's a great question. And when I think about the things that don't work, I think juggling doesn't work because I don't have the capacity. You know, juggling, you've got like three or four balls.
You don't want to see me juggle. No,
that's not good. You've got three or four balls up in the air at any one time, and you are just seconds away from disaster. So I don't like that visual, that metaphor at all. But I do like the idea of balance, because I will tell you, I have given up a lot of things, but the two things that I have clung to are a career that I love and a family core that is just so solid and so important to me. So this is a balance. There are two things in my life that really matter. And I say no to so many other things. Now, that's not to say on this particular scale that sometimes the family part is tipping up heavier and sometimes the work part is taking a hit. So is it perfect every day? No, it's absolutely not. But I do think that women can have these two things. Can you also have a fabulous volunteer life? Can you see your girlfriends every moment? Can you, beat your fastest pace in the marathon? No, probably not. There's always going to be sacrifices to be made. But I 100% believe that you can have a career you love and you can stay deeply connected with your kids at the same time.
One of the things that that Sheryl Sandberg didn't really dive into and lean in, which she's later kind of fessed up to, is that she didn't really emphasize the importance of being in a very healthy and supportive relationship with a partner, that in order to lean in, or to, in your case, be a mom boss, maybe you're a single mom boss, but it's important to have that support community. So how do you recommend women go about finding that, or making sure that there is also balance in the relationship that they have with their partner if they're married?
I think that there need to be conversations early on before the business launch with the stakeholders in your family. So, you know, even with your kids, if they are old enough to understand that your hours with them are going to change and your ability to be super free and always there for every activity and every outing, you need to be honest with your kids that those things are going to change with the startup, and certainly with your partner, your spouse, and the caregivers that are involved. And you need to be really open and honest about how it is going to affect you as a person, being able to build this thing that is not about the children. It's not about the family, that it's for you. It's for your mental well-being. It's also for your ambitious side. It's for all the things that existed before you became a mom. And I think that you need to stress how important that is, that we are, you know, a highly educated generation of women whose, you know, mothers and grandmothers made all these sacrifices so we could have all of these career options, so we could go to the best schools. Well, now we're out and we want a family and we still want to make the most of our career options that all of the earlier feminists had put out there for us. And I don't think we can be apologetic about it. I think that we have to be very clear that we are ambitious and not say it's just this little hobby, it's just this little thing. There's so many female entrepreneurs and mom entrepreneurs who are apologetic about what they're starting. And I think the early conversations you have with your partners, your spouses, you know, if you're a single mom, it could be the grandmother who's helping to take care of your kids, or it could be the partner that you're going into business with. You need to own your success and your trajectory and your ambitions for it. And having those conversations early on about how you see the business growing, what it's going to look like at 3 months, 6 months, 9 months are so, so important early on.
Just about every investment and retirement plan is created by men for men, which is fine. Unless you're a woman. Women still earn less than men, for now. We're more aware of risk, we're more likely than men to pause our careers to raise a family, and unfortunately, we typically retire with less wealth than men, even though statistics show that we live longer. That's why there's Elevest, created for women, run by and designed by women. Elevest helps women invest based on their specific goals, like buying a home, starting a business, raising a family, or just retiring like a boss. So Money listeners can visit Elevest.com/SoMoney and have an investment plan created at no cost, customized to your specific goals. Invest like a woman with Elevest. ELLEVEST. That's LFS.com/SoMoney.
So many listeners on So Money, I imagine, are maybe in a transition phase, or they're working a job and they have dreams of starting a business. And you made that transition, went from Ralph Lauren to starting Mom Trends. Talk about those early days for us, you know, and how the transition went. The emotions, I'm sure, that were running rampant at the time.
Well, I think one of the things, and I would really recommend this for single moms, especially the ones who would have to have an income. So one of the things when I was making the transition is I was freelancing in my chosen industry while I was starting up Mom Trends. So I was working for other online publications at the time. So I started writing out for Time Out New York, Kids Online, and a number of other online resources as Mom Trends was getting up and going. So I was learning from the other publications out there, what were best practices. I was making a lot of contacts. I was going out to a lot of events and doing a lot of networking through things that became available from those freelance jobs. So you could certainly do consulting or freelance work as you're getting your company up and running. And that way you're ensuring that also that you're getting a paycheck while you are launching your business. So I was doing this freelance work, and that was probably 10, 15 hours a week. I was getting a paycheck for it. You know, it doesn't compare to what I'm making with Mom Trends now, but I made a ton of contacts, and it was certainly covering babysitter costs for me. It was covering the startup costs of getting my URL and getting trademarked. And that was a great way to invest early time and energy into my chosen field. And I learned a ton from my peers that I was able to put into practice. And then 2 years into it, after the freelancing, I stopped the freelancing. There's one really lucrative gig that I held on to for another year or two, but I really cut back on that. And that's when we went full force with selling advertising and selling marketing packages with MomTrends. But I had that 2 year overlap to really give me a safety net to experiment, so the stakes weren't as high when I launched MomTrends.
What were some of the failures you experienced early on that you're kind of happy that they happened?
Well, I bought up all of these URLs that were going to be hyper local tentacles of the MomTrends, the MomTrends was going to be the home base, and I was going to have MomTrends LA and MomTrends NYC, and this is going to be a hub for local events. And it was a complete disaster. It was so labor intensive, and the payroll was so expensive to pay these editors to produce these pages. And then up against that, most of the advertising was local, and local advertisers don't have as much money as national advertisers. So it was a huge drain on resources, both financial and personal. And after about 6 months, we pulled the cord on that one. And we had a good discussion with my team. We were able to reallocate some of the writing staff to other projects, so nobody had to be laid off. But I think if I had hung on to it and had not been willing to say, okay, this isn't working, there's other people who beat us here who are doing it better. If I hadn't cut the cord on that earlier, then it would have been a huge drain on us. And I think it was sad, but letting things go like that had certainly helped us. And we used to do events for the general consumers. We did a few mom-friendly events. And we figured out early on that is so competitive and so hard. If women don't have a reason that they're connected to these other women, they didn't want to go to the events. And I thought, oh, we've got this huge readership of New York moms. If we're helping somebody open a storefront, they're all going to want to come to the event. So we know about 35% of our readers are from the New York area. And well, it didn't turn out because they have nothing. They didn't know who else was going to be there. They weren't hyper connected in that way. But so we changed gears after a few flops of doing just general consumer events. We invited the blogging community to launch parties. And that's where we really found our niche, because we knew the other bloggers in the community. We knew what types of events they wanted to go to. They were really looking for an opportunity to socialize in real life and to get offline, because so much of their life is ruled behind the laptop. So they really look forward to a night out with other bloggers to network, to compare war stories. And we now have done 150 influencer events with brands ranging from Pantene Hair Care. Jessica Alba hired us for her launch party in New York City. We've done movie launches with Julianne Moore. So we found our community and we've been servicing them. So really, we listened to what wasn't working, and then we listened to what was working. And I think that's the key, is to failures. You've got to listen as hard for those failures as you do for these successes.
You have two daughters, right?
I do. I have two girls. One is 11 and the other one is 8.
So tell me how you think they are perceiving all of this. Do you think that you're raising two little entrepreneurs? What kind of questions do they ask you? Do they seem interested in your business? Do they understand when you can't come maybe to sometimes events because you're working? Like what kind of a relationship does the business play in your family, between your family?
So I never started it was never a personal blog about my parenting journey, which was a good business move, as it turns out, because the kids, I thought their interest might wax or wane as the years went by, and it has. Sometimes they're more interested when there are toys involved for them or clothes now that they're a little bit older. They are highly interested in contributing to content for the site. But I've always been telling them about the business as we hired people. I would show them the payroll checks that would come in, and I purposely would have them help me seal the checks and put stamps on them, and then we would put them in the mailbox together. And I would say, okay, well, these are all the people that work for Mommy. So we're sending checks out to all of these women, and probably 90% of the checks are sent to women. And I said, you know, now they're going to be able to do things for their family. Maybe they're going to be able to take their family on vacation or pay for piano lessons, or they're going to be able to pay for tuition, or they're going to be able to pay for food. So, you know, really sending that message that because of all of my work, I'm able to support all these other women. And they love, love, love going to the bank with me on check deposit day. They fight over who gets to push all the numbers on the screen, and they love to see, you know, the balance when it comes out, and they ooh and ah, and then I'll say, okay, but next week's payroll, and I'll explain to them, you know, all this, remember all those checks that we send out. So they're really learning about that process. I think the older one definitely has an entrepreneurial spirit. She is very fascinated by the process, and she said she's definitely going to be an entrepreneur. She loves the freedom that I have with my schedule. And I think that really resonates with her because she's a little bit more of a free spirit. The younger one, I think the jury's out, but I think she's got more of a scientist temperament. Mm-hmm. So maybe she won't be doing something entrepreneurial, but make no mistake, they definitely know how flexible my job is and how much I can be there for them. And they are very appreciative of that. And they find it, most of the content is for moms. So they don't find that interesting, but they do find it fascinating to see how I have this personality online and how I take the comments that come in, because I will definitely show them negative comments or when people don't say nice things. And I will have this whole deep social media conversation about how Mommy doesn't get her worth from other people's comments. I create products, I create content, I create videos, I create a story that I'm really proud of. And I will look at the feedback and see what they have to say, but if it's just mean, then that doesn't reflect upon me. So it's been a great tool for talking to my kids about social media. So that's been a real gift. And then the other gift is just having them see a female succeed with her business and really own the term bossy, because the older one for sure has been called bossy by boys, by adults in her life. And I want her to know that bossy doesn't have to be a pejorative term, that she can own it and she can use that to her benefit.
I love it. You're talking about cyberbullying, because online entrepreneurs, we get cyberbullied all the time. And when I became a parent, I made some corporate work related deal breakers. Like before I had kids, maybe I would go and travel across the country and give a speech for a little bit of money and just be thankful for the exposure. And now I'm much more turned on by the higher paying gigs. And it's all really about maximizing my time and really maximizing my output. And so if someone wants me to travel to do something, like I try to do it in 24 hours. If somebody wants me to hire me for something, I'm much more strict about how much I need to get paid in order for this to really be worth my time and my effort. And it's like a switch went off when I had a child. What was the new framework within which you were working once you had a family? Did you have these conscious deal breakers?
I think what you were talking about with the travel, I would say for the first 4 or 5 years of the company, I barely traveled. You know, my theory was everything comes to New York City eventually and everyone comes to New York City eventually. So I would meet with all the brands or get to network with all the people eventually here in this fabulous city that we live in. Over as the girls have gotten older and more independent, it's a little bit easier to travel now. But in the early days, it was just a non-starter. And there was a lot of women who, and men who would, you know, I see attending conferences and they view it as a very social thing. They may learn a few things along the way, but you know, for me, conferences, I always had a really hard time saying yes to them. Because again, I can do a lot of networking here in the city, just taking the subway in and meeting some people at a cafe in Bryant Park or going to hear a speaker series, for just a few hours. So that has certainly been something that probably I could have grown faster if I had done more business travel in those 5 years, but I won't get those years back with my kids. So I don't think I missed anything there. And when it came to fees, in the early days, I think I pretty much took anything that interested me that was going to create great content. And then we built the fees up after that. So I had a little bit different of a structure earlier on. You know, now that I have a writing team and an editorial team, it's such a blessing for me because I can really focus on strategy, marketing, the things I love to do. And I say I come out of retirement to write if it's something I'm really, really fascinated in, or if it's something that has, you know, a ton of zeros at the end of it. And those are two great reasons to write something. So, you know, I'm definitely 10 years in. I'm really getting to cherry pick the projects that I work on. And that is, it's amazing and well-deserved after 10 years, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, that is a lot of it too, is that we're having families at a period in our careers where we have also put in a lot of the work and the effort and we've paid our dues. And I will say that since becoming a mom, I've become a much better negotiator and I'm much more willing to walk away from something, which ends up benefiting me sometimes, because sometimes the best negotiating tactic is walking away. You want to care, but not that much. Another reason to have kids. So tell us, you know, now that you've become an author, you have so many other titles and you wear so many other hats, but now you're an author. And so what do you think is going to happen after this? You've met tons of people. You've heard from a lot of moms. What do you think is going to be the next iteration or the next thing that you create to keep the conversation going?
Well, I think we're going to spend about a year talking. I've mapped out a year's worth of cities that I'll be visiting and keynotes and speaking engagements. So it'll take me through next August in this particular iteration of the business. And I do want to dive in and really help women solve problems and get over those hurdles that are standing between them and the ultimate success and freedom of mom boss life. So I think a year into that, and then when I'm looking at the 6 month, 9 month, 12 month plans for myself, we definitely are looking at more products that we're going to be developing. I think that that's going to be a huge move for all of the digital influencers, because we've been using our influence to really promote other brands so much. And there's a lot of things that I feel like there's holes missing in the marketplace. And now I've got the resources, I've got the reach to create things. Maybe it's some clothing pieces that I feel like are missing from a mom's wardrobe that people already rely on me for fashion tips and advice. And rather than getting a 10% affiliate fee, if I can work with a brand to create something that we co-brand and I can make 50% off of the sales price, I think that that's where I'm interested in moving next. But at the end of the day, I'm always going to stay true to our core mission, which at Mom Trends is solving problems, lifestyle solutions for moms. And I think when you get too far away from your original reason that you started, then that's when things tend to go wrong. So we're still 100% going to be focused on fantastic editorials, fantastic storytelling, making sure that our writers are really focused on what moms need right now. And then, you know, the extensions of it, maybe this year it's a book, maybe next year the extension is some branding that we're going to be developing. You know, we've already got our events wing that's going strong. But I think while I'm looking forward to growth and I'm looking forward to expansion, I also am still so in love with our original idea and the original reason we came to be.
Nicole, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I want to encourage everybody to go out and pick up a copy for themselves or another mom boss in their lives or aspiring mom boss. The book is called Mom Boss, Balancing Entrepreneurship, Kids, and Success. Really picking up where Girl Boss, for example, leaves off and maybe even in some ways lean in. If you don't want to work for the man or the woman, want to run your own business and have a family and have balance, this is the book you must read. Thanks so much, Nicole, and best wishes for everything that's definitely going to be forthcoming.
Thank you so much. And thank you again for the wonderful interview and tidbits that you provided in the book. They really are a highlight of it.
My pleasure. That's a wrap. If you'd like to learn more about the mom boss, Nicole Feliciano, check out her website, momtrends.com. She's also on Twitter @momtrends. The book again is called Mom Boss, Balancing Entrepreneurship, Kids, and Success. All of this information is back at somoneypodcast.com, as well as the podcast transcript, the audio downloads. And you can also ask me a question every Friday. I turn the tables, answer your money questions, career questions, life questions, baby questions. Just hit me up. Anything you got.
and I'll try to answer it. Click on Ask Farnoosh, and that will get you into our queue for an upcoming episode. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15.